I think we can all agree that swimming is one of the hardest sports out there in terms
of
training.
We're all biased, but yeah.
In terms of training, getting up early, then going to school, then going to the gym, you've got to fit all that in as well. And I don't think these swimmers get enough credit. So that was part of it as well. And it's not just that elite ends that I've just said. It's grassroots all the way through. That's the plan.
We found that British swimming in YouTube in an independent space wasn't having that independent voice. There wasn't really anyone speaking about it. You think the American side of the pond, there's Cody Miller, there's Swim Swam, there's all stuff like that all over the place. But in the British market, there was no one screaming or shouting about British swimming. And I think from doing those drills and realizing, look, we can put videos together about swimming, we thought, you know what, let's actually go a bit further and let's be a voice for British swimming. And essentially, it just snowballed from there.
Welcome to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast, where we aim to give swimming the coverage and publicity it deserves. Every week, we celebrate the sport we love with amazing special guests and topics from around the swimming pool. And now, here are your hosts, Scott and Dan.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to a special edition of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. You probably already noticed this a little bit different because I'm here. I'm Nick Hope, master's swimmer, journalist, professional stalker of athletes for over a decade. Check out my Twitter and you'll see all about that. But I'm here for the special event, which is the 100th episode. So I'm turning the tables a little bit, putting Dan and Scott on the spot, interviewing them. So guys, are you looking forward to this? Should I say welcome? I mean, it's technically still your show.
It's gonna be very different. It's It's nice not to be the one for the first time in 100 episodes introducing the podcast.
That now, you may have changed your mind by the end of it, but we'll have a load of fun.
No, we were just saying beforehand that I get nervous before every episode. Not that people would probably notice, but I brick it every single time. So to be on the receiving end, it's a little bit more nerve-wracking, but it's all right. Let's crack on. Let's do it.
If you've got smartwatches, you should maybe monitor your heart rate now. Do a comparison at the end. Look, we'll have loads of fun of it along the way and might throw you a couple of curveballs as well, just to keep things interesting, but not to scare you too much. Let's go for a nice and easy one to begin with. You know, propulsion swimming, it's been a huge success, but it obviously, you know, had to start somewhere. So where did the idea come from and what is the ethos behind it? What was the dream?
So essentially we started 2 years ago now, and I think it was almost 6 months in the running of it going live. We were just messing about with a GoPro at a swimming pool, thinking, let's put some swimming drills up on YouTube. Let's see where it goes. And within those 6 months of finding the confidence to put those videos live, I think we noticed that I'm massive onto YouTube anyway. We found that British swimming in YouTube in an independent space wasn't having that independent voice. There wasn't really anyone speaking about it. You think the American side of the pond, there's Cody Miller, there's Swim Swam, there's all stuff like that all over the place. But in the British market, there was no one screaming or shouting about British swimming. And I think from doing those drills and realizing, look, we can put videos together about swimming, we thought, you know what, let's actually go a bit further and let's be a voice for British swimming. And essentially, it just snowballed from there.
Yeah, for me, it was all about looking on BBC Sport on the app. I look on it all the time and you never see any swimming, but you see athletics, you see tennis, of course, you see football, you see rugby. And you think, actually, we've got bigger superstars in our sports. Why is swimming not being talked about more? We got Adam, for example, we've now got Duncan Scott, and we've got massive swimmers from that point of view. And it's not celebrated enough. I think we can all agree that swimming is one of the hardest sports out there. In terms
we're
of
all
training.
Biased, but
In terms of training, getting up early, then going to school, then going to the gym, you got to fit all that in as well. And I don't think these swimmers get enough credit. So that was part of it as well. And it's not just that elite ends that I've just said, it's grassroots all the way through. That's the plan.
Well, I guess, you know, we know there is that community there, you know, whether it's, you know, back in the day that there was forums, you know, there's obviously all, you know, a mailing list and then there are Facebook groups, but where comments are made, but this is, I guess, it's the first time that things have sort of been brought together where everybody can dive in from all over the UK and around the world.
Yeah, and actually it brought me back into swimming. I'll be happily to admit, before we started propulsion swimming, I wasn't in the pool. I wasn't anywhere near the sport. I had just spent 7 years at university after dropping out at the age of like 16, 17. And I think that's been the most fun for me. I've been drawn back into the swimming spectrum and I'm back loving the sport again. And yeah, I am training probably more than Dan now.
You probably are, actually. That's true. Yeah. I mean, it's very interesting doing a podcast because it's opened our eyes to see the sport. Because when we were swimming at Gloucester, we just thought it was just the Gloucestershire County. And then the select few went to then Southwest Regionals. And then in even more select few went to Nationals. And we just thought it was such a small sort of community, if you like. But now doing this, we've actually realized, actually, yes, it's massive. These swimmers, coaches, everyone are so easy to contact and just get in touch with. We've learned so much from doing it, and I hope the listeners have as well.
What have been kind of the biggest challenges putting together, you know, like the content for YouTube, but also the podcast? And has it got easier? Because I'm imagining, you know, obviously the momentum has built, hasn't it?
It's time in the day is probably the big thing. So me and Dan both work 9-to-5 jobs. This isn't paying the bills. This is a hobby. We've taken no money whatsoever from the YouTube channel at all. Any money that has been earned from AdSense has gone straight back into a new GoPro, paying for travel to do new projects. It is just finding the evenings, especially in winter, like it is right now when it's dark, to find the motivation to sit behind a computer and edit it after a long day's work. And then you've got to fit around the athlete's schedule as well. When you're working 9-to-5, it's sometimes quite hard to get swimmers on. We've had a few near misses with a few big names just because timings haven't worked. Has it got easier? I mean, right now I'm planning a wedding, so it's got a lot harder.
I was going to say, until March is over, because your wedding's on the 31st of March, once April hits, I think then we'll have a proper schedule. But as of right now, Scott has no weekends free. So we love the idea of doing 2, maybe 3 videos a week. But as of right now, there's no time to do much editing. So that's why we've gone into the shorts scene of things on just YouTube. So
So Scott, you think things are going to get easier after you get married?
I hope so. I hope I have a little bit more time, but we'll see on that.
People fire in their thoughts on that. No, it sounds great. Look, I mean, obviously, and you mentioned YouTube and the podcast, there are 100 episodes of the podcast now. I mean, you must, given everything that you've put into that, there must be so much pride at what you've achieved.
Definitely. It's kind of scary to think we've got to that number. It's almost flown by. At the same time, we looked back at the end of 2021 and we just listed the names that we had on, because this never really started as a guest interview podcast either. No. It was just me and Dan talking about our stories around the pool. And then we looked back and we're just like, okay, we had, I think it was like 17 out of the GB Olympians came on in last year, which was just a bit crazy. And then you just realize, oh, actually, maybe... I don't know. Maybe this is more respected than we realize. I don't know how to word it.
Yeah, one of our earlier episodes was literally as simple as swimming jargon. Do you remember doing that episode? That was one of our earliest ones. And we were just talking about, I don't know, whatever, negative splits, for example, and just explaining what that is. So like Scott said, it was nothing to do with getting guests on. Of course, that was the dream, to eventually get the likes of, let's say, Carl Chalmers on, or Caleb Dressel, Phelps. That'd be amazing. get those sort of guys on. But where did it all kick off? It kicked off, I would say, ISL 2021.
Mm-hmm. 2020.
2020, you're right, actually. Oh, yeah, we've been doing it 2 years.
You're right.
Yeah. I think Abby Wood and Joe Litchfield, they started off, and then we went on from there. Yeah, rest is history.
Come on then. Right, let's talk highs and lows. We'll go for the positive first, because I want to know some of the taxing ones as well. But yeah, come on. What are the moments that you've been, that you have loved, that have been the most exciting, that have given you a real kick? Because I know you guys don't do this for the snatch. You do it for the love of the sport and to get the news and stories out there. But what have you taken the most pride of that have happened in these 100 episodes?
So it's not one individual episode. I was speaking to Dan beforehand. It is, for me, the realization of my own mental health in the sport. Every year we put out an episode about mental health for Mental Health Awareness Week. And I think it was the first year we did it. I sat down and I suddenly realized the reason I drop out of the sport is because of my anxiety and the voice in my head, which was incredibly hard to deal with swimming. And since that realization, I've gone on to do 5K open waters, and I've actually learned to cope with it a lot better and found coping mechanisms. And then on top of that, it's being able to speak to these swimmers right at the top of the sport. So Dan Jervis, for example, when we spoke to him, he opened up about his own mental health and he came fifth at the Olympic Games. It was just incredible to hear his journey. And I'm most proud that we're able to talk about that and to be able to pass on the message to other swimmers that, look, this happens within our sport and it's okay to speak about it. I think for me, that's been the most powerful thing.
It seems like, you know, there's been a real mind shift change around that as well, isn't there? Because, you know, when people ask me, you know, what I thought was the biggest thing of the Tokyo Olympics last summer in 2021, you know, for me, it was the games where medals mattered, but mental health awareness was possibly the big winner. And I think we see that in all elements of swimming and this sport, but others as well. And clearly that's something you've seen.
Yeah. And when we spoke to Adam, it was... I think it was 5 days before Europeans, and we sent a message to him. We had no idea he would respond and say, yes, I'm happy to come on. And it was as raw as an episode that I think we've ever had. He was, I wouldn't say emotional, but he let out his frustrations of what was an incredibly taxing delay for a year and actually how hard it's been as an elite athlete. And I think that really opened our eyes, especially going into the Olympics. Just that single podcast, we're like, oh wow, this is really hard.
Well, that's the thing with Adam. He is extremely passionate about the sport, and the fact that that extra year effectively killed him. I mean, he was not happy with the stuff that he had to do because his body and his mind, especially his mind, were geared for just a 4-year cycle, and he was ready to go to 2020. And then to do another year, it's very tough, especially with the swimmers that were waiting to retire almost, Ali Atkinson being one, Federica Pellegrini being another one. So it must have been extremely taxing, more mentally than physically, I would have thought. But it wasn't just Adam, it was Erin Robertson as well. That was a really interesting episode because she stopped swimming at the age of 16, I think it was. And then she came back 5 years later and now is flying again, doing as well as she's ever done. So yes, it's fascinating.
And, you know, building off that, you've obviously had the big names. You've had people coming to you, haven't you, as well? You know, athletes approaching you, they want to be part of this now.
Yeah, this is actually one of my favorite topics, actually. I was trying to get people to understand that swimming isn't an individual sport and it is team. And we were talking about it, actually.
You just put a poll up.
We did. We put an Instagram poll up and it went 70-30 in favor of individual. And I thought, this is not right. And James Wilby actually approached us saying, this is not right at all. And so he actually wanted to come on. Again, I think this was just before Europeans, maybe, I want to say.
No, it's like 2 weeks before the Olympics.
oh, the Olympics. Of course it was, yeah. And he spoke so well. It was an hour. I don't think we asked too many questions, to be honest. So he just went off. And he was listing how important each part of his team was in terms of the physio, the nutritionist, obviously Dave on poolside, etc., etc. And I suppose the only individual part of the sport is the actual race itself, but the elements that have gone into it to make it the best race you've ever done is part of the team. And so that was the one thing I really took away from it, and the fact that Team GB and the atmosphere last year was just so incredible as well.
We've seen such a change, haven't we? Because I remember, you know, covering London 2012, where you had pretty much every sport had success. And then for swimming, it was a bit of a disaster. You know, they were miles off the medal target. What was it, 5-7? They got 3. And I remember speaking to, you know, Siobhan Marie O'Connor and several of those who were in the squad at the time, Rebecca Adlington, about how then it was a group of individuals. And then, you know, British swimming changed things. They made the squad size smaller. They started doing more, you know, team building. And obviously there was, they'd done the relay camps. And we've now seen why those are so important. Because I guess on the one hand, you look at swimming and you think, well, no one goes into it with the dream of being a relay medalist. Mm. But actually that team element has been so important to the individual success as well as the relays that we've seen.
Yeah, and I just want to make sure that youngsters, grassroots club swimmers, understand that actually it is about the team. They might just think that team is about being in a relay, but actually it's the stuff that goes into it. Turning up at 5 o'clock on poolside in the morning, you know, it's all of that. And then the land training on top of. So yeah, it's an interesting episode we had recently. Well, it was a couple of weeks ago now with John Rudd. And he said, talking about Ruta. and that it's not
Rich
the
and stuff. Yeah,
yeah, and it's not the hours you put on poolside or in the pool or in the gym. And actually, it's the he said it was the 19 hours outside of the pool, which coaches don't really have a say on. That's mm-hmm. what makes the athlete, and that's where the rest of the team come in. If you like, the parents, the taxi drivers, I always call them.
Obviously, yeah, absolutely. It's such a huge role they play. Obviously, mentioned John there and Adam and several others. Any other kind of favorite guests that you've had on?
Oh, favorite's a tough word because I've enjoyed every single one of them. I especially enjoy that actually since the podcast, a lot of them we're still in contact with. We still message, especially when they've had a really good swim, stuff like that. I think Brody Williams, we chat to him and he uses our live streams as like a second coach and an honest debrief about his own performances, which is quite funny.
Not a
favorite.
Actually, have you ever had to change that when you've realized more people are listening? Do you know what I mean?
No. That's
because sometimes you can be, I don't know, it's easier to be critical or analyze in a certain way when you're just being open and honest. But then when you start, sometimes, I've experienced it at a point in my career, sometimes you kind of second guess yourself a little bit. You're like, oh, hang on, would they mind me saying that? And then obviously you've got to think, well, no, I'm speaking from the heart. What I'm telling is the truth, even if it's difficult to hear.
Yeah. I'd say no, we definitely don't try to change anything, especially with the live streams. We got supported and partnered by AP, and Ed Baxter led that one with us. And the whole, he was slightly not skeptical, but nervous about doing it because he thought our reviews of the Olympics then would be slightly biased towards Adam or whatever, because we're sponsored by his brand. And in fact, it was nothing like that. So yeah. I think we just try and keep it as raw and as honest as possible through the whole thing.
I think people like honesty. I think that's what they tune in for. They actually want an honest reaction to a race. For example, let's say Michael Andrew, the 200 IM at US Trials. A lot of people are like, what do you think of this race? Because is he swimming it right? And I was kind of like saying, well, yeah, he qualified for the Olympics, fastest qualifier. So he's done something right. And it's quite obvious what he needs to work on. It's the pacing. But yeah, I think it's the honesty that people like. And every time we get a guest on before we go live, we always talk to them for about 5-10 minutes just to say, this is the kind of the layout.
Yeah,
a bit of an icebreaker, if you like, because this is the first time we've spoken to them visually, face-to-face, if you like.
I'll tell you what, some of my favorite videos we do on YouTube, I'm not even sure if they've kicked on or anything like that. I haven't looked at the numbers, but it's, I sit Dan down and just hand him the phone and go, there you go, sit in front of the camera and react to that. And he's got no idea what's coming. And those honest reactions make the best videos.
Yeah, that's how we do race reviews as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
When Chalmers did, obviously I've watched the race beforehand, when Chalmers broke the world record short course, he was just like, here's a camera, watch the race, off you go. And that's just, it was...
He's got no time to prepare.
Yeah, I think it was one take in the end. So,
nice stuff. Yeah, as was for him. What a swim that was in Kazan, wasn't it?
Amazing
stuff. Amazing. And I guess, that's the thing with the live streams, isn't it? You've got no time to prepare for those. You've just got to react. But they've, you must have had a lot of fun, mate, doing those, like during Tokyo.
Yeah, it was a hell of a lot of fun. What I will say is I'd never do it like that again, because we were both working 9 to 5 at the same, we didn't take the time off, which was stupid.
Yeah, the
absolutely
hours
ridiculous. No, so we... We'd have to catch up on the night swim, write notes, put up social media posts, go to work, finish work, quickly watch all of the afternoon swim, go live. Yeah. Honestly, it didn't hurt our channel. It didn't hurt the brand whatsoever. But me and Dan, for 2-3 months afterwards, were exhausted. I don't think we put any new content out for like 2 months. We were shattered.
I enjoyed it so much. The first, because it was like 9-10 days.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. The first 5 or 6 days I was flying, I was like, yes, this is amazing. And then it literally like a brick wall on day 7-ish. And I was like, oh my word, I've got like 2 or 3 days left of this. But of course, you want to try and get over to everyone that you're still passionate, you still put the energy in, because, well, Adam says it best that, by giving off energy, you then receive energy, type that sort of stuff. And for me, I'd actually do it again. I would.
Luckily, I'd take the time off work.
Yes, yeah. Luckily, it only comes around every 4 years, So,
well, three. Sorry about that, mate.
Three, yeah.
And Comm Games coming up this summer. That'll be a big one for you guys, I'm sure.
Dan's gone on holiday.
Yeah, I am.
At the worst time possible, he's going to Zimbabwe.
Well, at least we've got a fairly packed schedule in 2022. Europeans later in the year.
He's away for that one as well.
I'm away for that too. Yeah.
So it's all on me.
Mistimed that badly. Mistimed it. But I think Scott's away for British Champs, actually, if you're going on a honeymoon.
Honeymoon, yeah.
Yeah, so we've messed up a little bit this year.
But any live streams planned this year, guys?
No, we have. I think we're very thankful that actually we've done a little bit of work with Paul Boy, so Steve. Then there might be stuff to come with him in the future while Dan's away enjoying the sun.
Yeah, well, actually, it's winter in Zimbabwe in July. Still 20-odd degrees, but, still all right.
You guys aren't in the same place at the moment. You could definitely make it work from there.
There's no power. We've tried it before.
Finding up the excuses. Okay.
The power does go off quite regularly over there.
Fair enough.
But we do have live streams coming up, actually. We've started working with AP, obviously, and doing parent supports. That it seems to be going very, very well. And AP does it with their AP race clinics, and that was the first station we always go to. And we are planning to do more stuff with parent-related stuff with different topics, whether it's winter training or mental health, for example, other stuff like that, because we don't think parents get the support they need. So there's other live streams that we are planning in the pipeline.
Great stuff. I'm sure it'll be exciting. I was seeing where you guys have come from and hopefully going, as I say, in the next 100 episodes. But where do you guys at the moment see propulsion swimming moving to and progressing next?
Blimey.
It's tough. Hopefully, if there's more hours in the day.
Yeah, they're working on that.
I'd love to. It's weird. I know how the YouTube channel can grow, and it is by putting up educational content. And what we'd love to do, and something that we are slowly working on now that we've built up some relationships with these British swimmers, is getting them to help with educational content, which will in turn push their name out there on YouTube.
Yeah.
So it almost spreads their name far and wide and hopefully helps them grow with their exposure. Again, nothing's really about growing or our exposure. So essentially, I really hope this is live by the time this podcast goes live. We've got Max Litchfield's pre-pool routine, and he was kind enough to film that with us up in Loughborough. And pre-pools are a very searched topic on YouTube, and we know how to push that topic out there so that in turn it pushes Max out there and everyone can see, because he's been to the Olympics twice. He's come fourth twice. I would argue not many people know who he is without British swimming. So the fact that we could spread him far and wide, and it's almost connect the elite swimmers back down to the grassroots and the people who are going to the pool, if there's something that they want help with, hopefully we can provide videos with these guys right at the top and form that connection between the elite and the grassroots, because I actually think that's the biggest missing link within swimming. The sport will not grow without these participation numbers, because there's massive ones, everyone going to the pool, without them being more aware of the guys at the top. Because it's weird, I listened to a podcast the other day about how to grow rugby, and I'd say it's the same with swimming, that without the people doing the sport watching the elite, it's never going to grow, because no one who hasn't swam the sport is going to watch.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So if you can connect those everyday swimmers with the guys who are winning Olympic medals a little bit better, and that's something I really, really want to do as a channel, then the sport can grow.
It's humanizing the superstars, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Connecting them back to, their origins. And so kids can kind of see, they have to do the pre, but I know it's boring, but pre-pool, post-workout stuff, it's so important. And they still do it. Adam still does it. He does it religiously. All do.
Exactly. So that's what I'd love the channel to become, more of an educational piece of these guys right at the top and connecting them back to the grassroots, because there is the market there for people to watch these videos. It's huge. And why would me and Dan want to be in that video? We don't want to spread our name. We want to spread the names of the guys at the top and get more kids them watching the Olympics.
Are you saying my technique isn't good enough to do drills anymore? Is that what you're saying?
Falling off a cliff now. You're not training enough.
Yeah. I'm reaching 30, so you know it's going downhill very rapidly.
We'll get very negative reaction to that one. You're still fine, don't worry.
I don't know about you, Dan. Is that what you had in mind?
For the future, I've been wanting to do it for ages. We've discussed this for months and months. And again, it's not just Max. We have plans, well, hopefully, fingers crossed, if we ask them, that they would be willing to do the different stuff. Let's say core exercises or backstroke drills, you know, masterclasses. Let's go with that. Yeah, masterclasses. Mm. Rather than just getting me to do it, I'm just a nobody in swimming. But if we get Adam to do breaststroke drills or Luke Greenbank to do backstroke drills, Jacob Whittle to do core exercises, whatever, doesn't matter. Again, I'm basically just going to echo what Scott said. It gets their name out there so that more people can.
I think that's how you grow the viewership. I really think that's how you grow the viewership. I know ISL is doing amazing things in terms of paying these swimmers, but to make it sustainable, you need to connect these swimmers right back down. So I know there's the London Raw Academy. There needs to be that times 100. And you know what I mean? I think it is that connection at the grassroots level that almost the top end need to invest in for it to grow.
Great stuff, guys. Look, I was having so much fun chatting then, I completely forgot that I was supposed to ask you the most challenging part of the last 100 episodes. Your favorite guests and all the things that have gone so well. Come on, dish the dirt. What has been the hardest part about this? Because we know dealing with athletes, it's not easy all the time, is it?
I mean, do you know what? It has been good. I don't think there's been like a bad reaction to any guest we've had on. The hardest
there's
episode.
Been one there's been one. I think we both agree on this, but it's got nothing to do with Ed Mildred, nothing to do with him. It was the internet connection in Naples that was extremely difficult, because the delay was, I think, I'm not lying, I think it was like 10 seconds. 10 seconds. So there's a lot of
press record.
Oh yes, that's true. Oh, it's a double whammy. Yeah,
I forgot to press record for the first 20 minutes. And he was still 18 at the time. First podcast, he was a remarkable professional through the whole thing. But that was the most painful edit, the most painful conversation. But actually, if you listen to it back, it seems seamless. It seems really smooth.
But you got a second time at it.
Yeah.
I mean, were you mid answer when you realized, and you just got that sinking feeling? Yeah. Or was it, talk us through that.
I mean, I was oblivious, completely oblivious to it. And Scott Ed was speaking, he was answering the question. And I could see Scott's face literally just drop all of a sudden. I was like, oh my word, what has happened? I was like, has the cat died? Has the dog died? What's going on? And then he literally, as soon as Ed finished answering, Scott was like, I've got some bad news for you. We're going to have to restart because I haven't pressed record. Like, oh God.
It only ever happens once.
Yeah.
Other problems will happen, but you'll only make that mistake once.
That was the hardest moment.
Yeah, in terms of other challenges, I don't think we've honestly had them. I mean, a lot of guests have been nervous. Kiana McInnes was really nervous beforehand. And once we went live and we were, started the interview, it's almost like she's done this for years. Like, it's complete natural. I mean, I was saying to her beforehand that I get nervous before every episode. And so I was trying to relate to her that way. And that's why we do the 5-10 minutes beforehand. And she was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And they're the type of swimmers that we want to get on the podcast, because their names need to be out there more. So that was a good one.
I think for sanity, I would never base a podcast or episodes around ISL again, because their timetables change at just a split second without any warning. The swimmers don't know when they're free. It's not the fault of the swimmers. I'd say it's the organization behind the scenes of whatever's going on there. But you have like a podcast lined up, and then 10 minutes beforehand, they're just like, oh, sorry, I'm training. Can we do it the next day? Can we do it the next day? And it keeps going on like that. And then suddenly you have no episode this week. Mm. So you're just like, oh, like for our own growth, you need an episode every week for continuity, and it's just painful when that happens. We had this year was the hardest one, because we had a massive guest lined up and the scheduling just didn't work, and we were trying for about 2-3 weeks, and it was really painful when we just had to say, look, this isn't working, we're gonna have to try and move on, because otherwise we're not going to have a podcast episode.
Well, you feel bad for chasing, don't you? The costs are like, can you do today? Can you do today? Because it feels like you're just pestering then. So it gets difficult. But we had a really good guest on, and it's a massive shame. But
we'll tell you off this
year. Yeah. It's the hope that kills you when you still keep thinking it can happen, isn't it? And the just keeping you going that little bit. Well, look, obviously that would have been a big guess. You've had plenty. In the future, you will hopefully have several more. So I've got to ask, who are your kind of dream captures? Who do you want on the show in the coming 12 months, the next 100 episodes?
I'm looking at the list that Dan's written, and for a British swimming podcast, Dan, there's no Brits.
Well, I feel like we've done quite a few Brits.
Scotland, is that what we've got to?
it's on its way. It's on its way. Scotland's on its way. Dream one for me again around mental health would be Ian Thorpe. To touch upon his journey, a lot of journey outside of the pool, but watching Head Above Water, hearing him speak so openly about that, I think I could talk about the topic not all day, but it is one that I would happily carry on talking about constantly for the future.
I think for me, I think I've already said it actually earlier, was Kyle Chalmers having to go through heart surgery and numerous shoulder surgeries and then still coming away with Olympic medals and world titles, world records, etc. I don't know how he's done it. I'd like to know how he has done it.
For a while, wasn't even thinking of carrying on in swimming. It was just going to be a temporary thing before he went back into Aussie rules, wasn't it?
Yeah, I want to know his story, his background, and everything that he's done, basically. That'd be amazing.
Is there a Brit we're missing? Jimmy Guy. I kind of want to speak to Jimmy Guy as well, because, we put a video out there. He's the relay king. In our eyes, he's the best relay swimmer to have ever existed. So I'd love to talk to him about that.
And he sort of embodies what we were talking about before as well, doesn't he? Yeah. In terms of like the input, this change of mindset in the British team and well, the importance of that British team rather than individual, the way that he, dropped the fly.
I'd go one more. Tom Bates, who is the psychologist behind the British swimming team. We've seen him in action and the man's incredible.
Yeah. Problem is, we'll be asking him questions and he'll be asking questions back. We're like, oh, why? I wasn't. I'd like Siobhan Marie O'Connor to come on as well. I think that'd be really interesting with the condition that she's had to deal with her whole life and then still to come away with a silver medal with a time that would have, won. I think would have won.
Easily. Yeah. No one's got close to it.
Yeah, which is incredible. And she got silver. So, that would be, if we were to get a Brit on, that would be a dream guest.
Great stuff. Yeah, loads of great names. I'm sure you'll nail them all in the coming weeks and over the next 100 or so episodes. Look forward to seeing all those. Got to ask, though, we've been talking about your thoughts on where swimming has come from and obviously, analysing all the data and the strokes and the analysis that you get in. But where do you want to see swimming go in the future? The ISL has really spiced things up. We've seen, FINA have had to react and obviously change up their World Cup. We know the world is still in a pandemic and that means events are being chopped and changed. But, what would you like to see happen with the sport going forwards to make it, I guess, a bit more connected?
Yeah.
Do you want to go down?
I'm a big boxing fan. And I don't know if you've heard of DAZN, seems to be taking over completely at the moment. DAZN is big on boxing. And I think not just DAZN, let's have another separate entity for swimming and having like a guest panel like you do on Sky Sports with the football and stuff like that, having their pundits, something like that for swimming. And then having a live stream and that sort of thing. I'm big on darts as well. Darts is usually quite good on that
just
sort of
entertainment,
front.
Entertainment, isn't it?
An entertainment factor, yeah. And they try it on ISL and it doesn't quite work just yet, but they're on the right track. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. They are on the right track. I'm American sports all over. Mm. And watching ISL, it's like you're trying to do it, but you need to widen your circle. I think they need to bring in external people who almost don't know swimming. And I think that's then how it grows. It needs to be marketed better. We need to see behind the scenes a lot. That's the thing I'd actually like swimming. Yeah. It's the relatable to the athletes, like we spoke about before, that we want the elite to connect to grassroots. It's also seeing behind the scenes of what the elite training is and talked about more than just 4 years. And I think it's on its way with ISL. I think it's getting there in helping spread the names for more than every four, but I think some work is still needed to be done to make it not an every 4 year sport.
Yeah,
it needs to be an everyday sport now.
Yeah, kids are on YouTube all the time watching gaming stuff like that, whereas they should be watching their role models doing the work. Let's just go with Adam Pisic, for example. He's putting a lot of stuff on his AP brand Instagram and stuff like that right now of him doing core exercises, him doing ridiculous sets in a pool. And that's the stuff that the kids don't see. They just see them on telly doing 56 seconds for 100 breaststroke. But they don't know how he's got from point A to point B, you know? They don't see the behind the scenes and the hard graft that goes into it, the grind, if you like. And I think the behind the scenes, yeah, somewhat. Yeah, well, that's where, well, I suppose watching him die would be quite funny. Not literally die, but, you know, physically exhausted, you know?
I know, but not everything should be like an informative video is what I'm saying. I think the Head Above Water series is the target to almost be a bit more like that, so you can see behind the scenes, you can see the coverage, you can it's that sort of, that's needed to help grow the elite end.
I guess it's similar to what you've been doing, but it's upscaling, like getting, you know, if a big broadcaster's taking it on, because often I think we've seen in maybe the ISL is you get a great bit of content that's reduced down to sort of 45 seconds of a team talk that maybe James Gibson's giving. And that and it sort of leaves you wanting a bit more. Well, there could be more on YouTube, but they don't put that on their YouTube. So, you know, there are definitely holes and gaps.
There's massive plans for the channel. If it's earning us like a weekly wage that can mean we can go part-time in our full-time jobs, we will jump at the chance to then suddenly put more hours into spreading this content, filming more content, because I think in our we've got a little note, which is obviously private between ourselves, of video
ideas.
Little.
It's not that
Exactly. We've got video ideas in there in the 200-300s of what could be possible and what we'd love to put out. And
it comes down to time, to be honest.
Exactly.
Still.
It's trying to get it done.
Anyone with deep pockets out there is listening.
kind of. It's not meant to be a sales pitch, but I think there's massive potential, and actually something we haven't spoken about is where we get the inspiration from. And actually all of our video ideas, we don't get any inspiration from swimming. We get it from all corners of the internet, everywhere else. I watch filmmakers, I watch videographers, I watch travel videos, I watch NFL, NBA, nothing. Actually, we very rarely watch other people's swimming content because we want original ideas coming into the sport. I think swimming could stay down the straight and narrow as it has done for so long, but why not try things which are helping grow, like filmmakers? Filmmakers on YouTube are huge, and they've got videos which get millions and millions of views. Why can't swimming give that a go?
If you do the same thing time and time again, you're just going to get the same result. So you've got to switch it up and change it. And I think that's the part of the way what we should be doing it, having little influences from external sources, if you like. And these guys on YouTube that Scott watches, these creators are just incredible at what they do. And I sometimes think that these guys are doing better jobs than like these Hollywood directors sometimes. It's incredible what they do. Not that we're going to get to that stage. I mean, it would be amazing if Scott would that editing prowess. That would be awesome. But yeah, I suppose we can dream, can't we?
Great stuff, guys. Well, you're talking there about switching things up. So let's change the pace a little bit and hit you with some quick fire questions, which I know you usually like firing at your guests. So we'll turn the tables on yourselves this week, if that's cool.
Yeah.
You want to do a drum roll or like a little bit of music pumped in? Maybe you can add that in later, Scott. I'm up
extra layer.
Add a couple of little spotlights in as well.
Yeah.
Okay, nice and easy to begin with. Let's go. And in either order, Scott or Dan, whoever wants to shout out first. First of all, favorite event?
203.
Rapid fire.
5K open water.
Madness on earth?
It is now. It is now.
Dear me.
Swimming idol.
Ian Thorpe.
Michael Phelps.
Two obvious ones, but very good ones indeed. proudest moment in swimming?
For me, I think it was achieving my first national time when I was 14. I remember the meet. It was DaVencio's XL's first ever meet at Ponds Forge. I was 14. And I had to go 203.89. That's how specific I know. And I had to go, and I went 202.40.
Yeah, I've got two. So when I was still swimming, it was English Schools Gala. So we were a tiny little school. We got to the final and our relay team beat Kelly College to finish 10th in the country. I think that was a big deal for me. And then more recently is finishing that 5K Great North Swim. That was in what were ridiculously hard conditions. I was pretty proud of that.
Even in brilliant conditions, that would have been tough. Next one. Most embarrassing moment in swimming. I mean, have you had goggles come off, suit torn, slipped off blocks?
Here's a curveball. 200 back, I counted wrong and just kept on going.
You did not tell me that.
Yeah.
200 back. Okay, short course. Presumably.
Short course.
Had to be, surely. Yeah.
I just lost focus and carried on swimming.
Oh, you went too far. All right,
Went too far, yeah.
Wow.
I thought you'd know it in your legs by the end, but okay.
mine was at Millfield. And you know, in the warm-up, you have a massive queue ready for the sprint lanes or the diving lanes. And it was old blocks at Millfield before they got the sort of whatever they're called, like the sandpaper type feel grip things. And I slipped, smashed my shin in front of what was about 100 people, no doubt. And proper belly flop. Yeah, I think it was pretty bog standard. Everyone has to experience that, surely. It's part of swimming, isn't it?
You're not a swimmer until you've had at least one major disaster in front of a group of people.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Okay, hardest set you've ever done?
750s off 4 minutes. We talk about it a lot. I love the set, but it's easily the hardest set.
Yeah, I think mine is 30 100s off 140, best average. And I had to hold under a minute for each one. That was pretty awful. That was almost like a weekly thing as well. Yeah.
If anyone didn't know, Dan used to be a fairly decent swimmer.
I could swim a little bit. I was all right. Yeah.
He's very modest, but absolutely. Okay. Also, I mean, you like asking guys about road trips. So, you know, you've got three people you can take with you. You've got a friend, family, a celebrity. Who are you putting in the car with you?
Oh, this one usually throws everyone off, but luckily we've had some time to prepare for this, haven't we?
Come on, we want to hear the answer.
So I'd go, people are never going to know who these are. Peter McKinnon, search him on YouTube. Marquez Brownlee, search him on YouTube. And Johnny Wilkinson, purely for the podcast episode he did on the High Performance Podcast. That was truly eye-opening. Everyone needs to go listen to that. I'd love to pick his brains.
Yeah, I don't know if most people would know those, especially the first two anyway. My three, I think, are a little bit more well-known. Sylvester Stallone, I'd have him in the car just because I want to know his story behind writing Rocky, because apparently he had to sell his dog because he wanted to be the lead role or something along those lines. I'd want to know about that. I'd want a bit of comedy in there. Lee Evans is my favorite comedian. Chuck him in the car as long as he doesn't sweat all over the seats. Yeah, that's fine.
Swimming in that car if it's a long drive.
And then I'd have some music, and it's a tough one, but I'd have to go with Martin Garrix.
Great stuff. Look, I have had an absolute blast with you guys today. Is there anything else you want to add about, propulsion swimming? And I guess, how much you've enjoyed the support and the community, involvement over these 100 episodes, but obviously also the engagement on YouTube as well.
Yeah, it's been awesome. I think me and Dan always take the time to reply to every comment, every message. I think we really love it when people just message us tiny little bits of the podcast, say, oh, I learned so much just from this line. I think that's exactly why we do this podcast, so people can learn, educational. People need the resource to learn these things. And if we can speak to these guys right at the top for the foreseeable future and pass on messages that help people just starting out, then brilliant.
Yeah, I like the questions that we get in asking about what happens if I do this in a drill. You know, my hips are sinking. How can I bring them back up to the surface? Or my elbow's dropping on my catch. How can I improve that, for example? More than happy to answer those questions every single time. And actually, we've had a little bit of success because we have a regular commenter who's now started to learn to swim because of the videos that we've put out. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. It's a brilliant success story. So well done to him. And yes, thank you very much for everyone listening in and commenting. And hopefully we can go on for another 100 episodes. Fingers crossed.
And thank you, Nick, for helping us out with this.
Of course.
This podcast episode. It's nice sitting on the other side. I've actually really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Did you work it out by the end? How has your heart rate been?
All good, right? I think
it didn't break 100, so it's all right.
The, no, yeah, the alarms are going off. Good stuff. Well, look, I've had a great time. Everybody who's watching, listening on back at home, you know, if for some bizarre reason you aren't already subscribed, make sure you click on that subscribe button for all the latest propulsion swimming news. Search at Nick Hope TV if you want to follow my, you know, Olympic, Paralympic, Commonwealth sports stories. Usual service, as you've just heard from Scott and Dan, will be resumed from episode 101 with them back in the hot seat. I've loved it today, but good luck with the next 100 episodes, guys, and way beyond. I think we're going to stop now.
You've been listening to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast with Scott and Dan. We want to thank you for joining us and invite you to subscribe to the show, as well as checking out the Propulsion Swimming YouTube channel for weekly tutorials and videos to get your swimming fix. We will be back next week. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.